Welcome back to From My POV with Emily Savard. Today we are back in Windsor, Ontario with a hometown star, offensive lineman for the Seattle Seahawks, Dakota Shepley.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for taking the time to get this set up. I know you're traveling a lot.
It's not really
in Windsor, you know? So why don't we just start by you telling me a little bit about yourself, just people who don't know you kind of thing, just like a basic background.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm born and raised in Windsor. Went to Holy Names with Brett. I grew up playing hockey.
Okay.
I'm obviously a football player, but I've played music my whole life, and I started playing hockey when I was 8 years old.
Cool.
And that was kind of like my thing until it wasn't.
Right.
Around like 11th grade. Then that's when I started playing football.
I heard from Brett that you were cut at the high school.
From the football team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so wild to me.
That's actually like part of the reason I started playing football.
Okay.
So I actually broke my hand playing hockey.
Oh.
And I was missing a bunch of practice. Obviously, wasn't playing any games.
Mm-hmm.
And I had passed the coach for the junior football team in the hallway. And he's like, hey, when are you coming back? Like, when are you ready to go?
Right.
I'm like, oh, I can't, like my hand. He goes, just give me your jersey.
Okay.
Yeah. And I had it in my backpack. So I gave it to him. And that was it. That was like me
basically so
getting cut from football. So, played one more year of hockey after that.
Yep.
But it was over because I had started playing football
right
when I broke my hand. Well, when it was better.
Did and, you like one better than the other?
I certainly liked hockey better.
Yeah.
Because I understood it. Like I grew up playing it. I started when I was 8.
Okay.
So it just felt more natural. Like I didn't really understand the game of football, what my position was. I remember I went to a University of Michigan football camp, and when I went, they asked me what position I was, or if I was on offense or defense.
Mm-hmm.
I said defense because I thought that defense defended the quarterback.
Right, right.
So I went to this like University of Michigan football camp where you're supposed to get exposure, and everyone's gonna, you know, you're gonna get found and get put on the map football wise and I was out there looking like an idiot because I had no idea what I was doing because I was doing an opposite position of what I was used to.
Did you have any like role models, I guess you would say, like, or anyone in the sports realm that you like looked up to when you're starting out?
If anything, it was just older players on the high school team because I hadn't watched football.
Right.
Like I grew up watching hockey. So I didn't really start watching football until I started playing it more seriously, like in university.
True. Okay.
Like my friends who were good at football in high school that I looked, those were the guys I looked up to.
Okay.
Really. Yeah.
So obviously you started playing football when you were in high school. Can you explain the journey to the CFL and then the NFL?
So I took football way more seriously towards the end of grade 12.
Okay.
And through my fifth year. And I really wanted to get recruited in the NCAA. I wanted to go.
Right.
I think everyone's dream in Windsor, who's a football player, is to play D1 football. Because you're so close. Keep saying University of Michigan. But we had I had a friend who went to Herman who got a scholarship to Michigan State. So I knew it was possible. But the way the GPA system works in the States, they start counting your grades from grade 9. And I hadn't even been playing football yet. So anyway, I say all that to have an excuse for I didn't have the grades to get into any school.
Right. Okay.
Central Michigan recruited me for tight end. But anyway, that's the height of my NCAA career. But a lot of Canadian schools were recruiting me.
Okay.
And UBC was one of them. And
the
coach at the time had given me a call asking me to come out. I'd never even been to the West Coast. He was like, just come out. It'll be a free trip to the West Coast, even if you don't want to come.
Right.
So Vancouver was awesome, obviously.
Sweet, yeah.
And I ended up going to UBC, spent 5 years there, won a national championship in year
Amazing.
Three in 2015. And I think that really helped, you know, get me on the map, but get eyes at UBC. Because we really hadn't done much, winning before that.
Helps at school out, too.
Yeah, so that kind of put me on the map. And so right out of UBC, I was an undrafted free agent signing to the New York Jets.
Right.
And so I did all their offseason program camp. And the jump from Canadian football, especially having only played at this time football for like 6 years.
Yeah.
It was a big jump.
Yeah.
So understandably got cut. And that whole season, I had like about six or seven workouts with different teams. They all pretty much told me the same thing. Athletic, too raw, you know, too much to develop, too much time to put into for what we're looking for, pretty much, understandably. So while I was in New York, I got drafted by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Right.
In the CFL. So I ended up going there for the 2019 season.
Okay.
Did real well. And then 2020, the season was canceled.
Right.
Because of COVID.
Yep.
So they gave players a 1 week window to opt out of your contract to pursue like an NFL opportunity.
That's so interesting.
So I opted out, and then the same day I opted out, I got flown out to San Francisco and
so sick.
Had a workout and got signed. So
yeah, that's sweet. Did you like Saskatchewan?
I love Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
It's a really great place to play football.
I feel like they have a very good fan base there.
That's what it is. I describe it like, it's like Alabama. They don't have a professional sports team. They have the University of Alabama and Auburn, and everyone sells out the games.
Right.
That's how, and, you know, you go anywhere, you can go to a restaurant, everyone knows who you are. You can go anywhere. And, you know, people are buying you a meal or drinks or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, asking for an autograph. That's how it is in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Smaller scale, obviously, but it's probably the best place to play in the CFL for sure.
Yeah, definitely not the Argos, the Toronto Argos.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's just, I feel like in, this is bad. They're just guys. Like
I know.
Because they're just overshadowed by all these sports teams.
Yeah, like I feel like they just don't have the same kind of hype around them. Like everyone either wants to watch the Leafs, the Raptors, or TFC.
Or the Jays. Like it's
the
like
Jays.
There's so many sports teams that come first on TV, in the news, whatever. So it's unfortunate because, you know, CFL is trying to get as many viewers as they can and
it's true.
Fans and whatever. But
and then going out to San Fran.
Mm-hmm.
And then ending up this past season in Seattle.
Yeah.
How was that transition?
It was great because it meant that I was getting better. That's what that told me. So I was waived in San Francisco, and there's pretty much like a 24-hour, or I think it's 24 or 48-hour window where teams can claim you when they put you on like what's called the waiver wire. So they waive you. And basically what San Francisco is doing is hoping I don't get claimed so they can put me on their practice squad for the second year in a row. And like I got waived in the morning or around noon, and at 10 p.m. I got signed with, I got claimed with the Seahawks.
Right.
So that was awesome.
I mean, how does that work in terms of where you live? So like, did you just have to pick up from San Fran and just,
I just packed up as soon as they, I kind of had an idea that I was going to go somewhere else other than San Francisco.
Right.
Once they waived me, I'm like, all right, I had a good preseason. I feel like I'm going to end up somewhere.
Yeah.
And I did. So I kind of packed up in advance. And then I didn't own a car or anything. I just rented a car. So I returned that. I got
everything
in order. And then they just pretty much said, be ready for a flight. And I was. So.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah.
What's been your favorite memory so far playing in the NFL?
The first start was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or not start. First time dressing.
Right.
I'm still waiting for that first start. That's the next goal. But
one goal at a time.
Yeah, right. First time dressing was really cool. Like for real.
Yeah.
In a game on the active roster. Like that's just pretty sweet. I have the, I framed this like, it's a formality sheet they give you saying that Seattle claimed you.
That's sweet. Yeah.
And took on your this year contract from San Francisco.
So, right.
I don't know. Just kind of like the whole reality of like.
Well, it's kind of crazy. Like Canadian players, it's not like as common, right, as like Americans playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
So like it's kind of wild.
Especially coming from Canadian school, like
university.
Because there's Canadians that are in the NFL who went to like an NCAA program, D1, D2, whatever it is.
Right.
But playing in the States, you get so much more exposure.
Yeah.
No matter how big or small the school is.
Totally.
So yeah, it's, I mean, it definitely was.
It's also kind of wild too, though, that you started out playing hockey and then just all of a sudden was like, I'm going to play football now. And then here we are.
Yeah.
You know,
all because, when I broke my hand, the doctor I went to go see was like, you should be playing football. You're this big.
Right.
Yada, yada, yada. And you could get a scholarship. He was like really selling football.
Right.
And it ended up working out.
Yeah. It's great.
Well, yeah. Wild.
What's a misconception that you think people may not know about pro sports or playing in pro?
There's definitely there's a to a certain extent, you know, it's how good are you,
right?
But there's also you got to be in favor with some people, and I think that's how it is in any business.
Yeah,
I think as a fan, it's easy to have like a outside perspective, be like, why isn't he playing? He should be playing. This right. is better, but yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff, just like in any business, that happens. Where, you know, it's just another odd you have to overcome, or a little speed bump, where you got to play the game, no pun intended.
Yeah. And also it's just one of those things, like, fans won't know the other side unless they play it, right?
Sure.
So they can't really relate in that way.
Yeah, it's just like anything. It's like me, you know, speculating on why Amazon should be doing something different.
Right.
Like some other huge business, it's like a massive industry. Like,
definitely. When you got to the CFL... and then the NFL, were there any like influential people in your life or anyone that you kind of like took on as like a mentor to you?
Yeah, certainly along the way, like every team you go to, there's veterans on every team that
right.
will take a liking to you, or you kind of try and be a sponge around them. And guys along the way, certainly
yeah.
like there's always like a wily vet on a team who wants to help, who has job security and isn't worried about you taking their job and see you as a friend.
Right.
Every team has one.
Yeah. Were you nervous to like get on the field with like Russell Wilson, for example?
No. It's just, you know, especially when you've been playing for a while,
yeah.
it's just another player. You know,
right.
he's a very good player, and he's obviously a cool guy to know and
right.
be around and watch play and practice and just the way he carries himself. But
yeah,
you know, you can't get too starstruck.
I know. I think it's maybe wild to me because I have so many friends who are Seahawks fans, and like mm-hmm. when I saw you go to Seattle, I was like, that's like kind of wild. Like that's
yeah.
crazy. You
yeah,
know?
I sometimes forget. Like my girlfriend will be like, it's so crazy that you just say Russ like so
yeah,
casually.
Seriously,
like he goes to the Met Gala. Like he's like an A-list celebrity. I'm like, ah, yeah, but it's just
I
Russ.
Know, right? But you
like,
don't see. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you're around it, right? So. Do you feel your younger sports days like really shaped you mentally into the player you are today?
Yeah, there's definitely like a foundation of having to just work hard and not worry about everything
yeah.
else. Because especially in hockey, especially in a hockey town like where we're from,
right?
It's you got to do a lot to just get ahead. Like with like the travel leagues, like if you know the coach, like you're
right.
gonna be more favored. So yeah, like just. Having to overcome stuff like that and just put your head down and work and just focus on, you know, it's very cliche, but
yeah.
control what you can control is like a big thing, especially
yeah, that's
in football
true.
Because there's so many moving parts. If you play GM in your head, you'll go crazy. So,
right.
Yeah. Hockey definitely set me up for, I think the mindset that I have and the way that I approach football.
Yeah. That's yeah. sweet. This is a funny question that Tam actually wanted me to ask.
Okay.
What do you eat in a day?
Yeah, of course.
Actually, I'm sure many people would want to know this.
I actually, it really depends. Like right now I'm kind of doing a thing where I'm trying to not eat
as much,
I'm just trying to have some respect for myself. I'm just,
right.
like I stop eating, at like 5:30.
Okay.
And, I haven't been having a lot of carbs. I've been just eating a lot of like
yep.
meat and vegetables, a lot of water, but I don't have like a lot of meals in a day.
Right.
And it also depends. Like, how
well,
much
I was
I'm
saying
training.
To Brett, I'm like, there's no one that eats more than you to him. Like,
I believe
he eats
it.
So much
yeah,
food.
I believe it.
And he's like, no, you should ask. He definitely eats more than me. I'm like,
I think I could.
Yeah.
But
definitely
the way that I'm wired right now is just because, yeah, I need to really get into like some hardcore. Like, I'm about to start my off season next
right.
week. I think that is a better time now.
Yeah, maybe like explain a little bit about the off-season training. A lot of people probably don't know like the process of like when it starts and
it's a lot. So I'm thankful I have like a real good trainer who specifically does offensive line in Texas.
Yeah.
And the way that he approaches like building his program, he really structures it like a training camp mindset,
mm-hmm.
Where it's like you got to do it.
Right.
There's no way out kind of
right.
thing. And you're doing it with all other offensive linemen. So
cool.
It kind of feels like you're on a team, like
right.
as a unit with the O-line. So doing that is real cool. It's real the way he does it in phases. It's like you're going through a season and
Right.
It, along with the physical struggles, like the mental struggles, the mental aspect is like a great focus in the off season.
Yeah. How did you find him?
Instagram. He's like, so there's really only two guys in the country and in the States that do O-line specific training.
Really?
One guy's in Phoenix.
Okay.
And the other guy's in Dallas.
Interesting.
So when I had got cut by the New York Jets, I'm like, okay, everyone tells me I'm really raw and I need to work on my
O-line
technique. This is the guy I want to go to. So my agent reached out to him and he accepted me. Like, it's like, not everyone can go there. It's only offensive linemen in the NFL or like top tier NCAA guys that are going to get drafted.
Got
or,
it.
You know, they're on their way. So he took me on for whatever reason. And
that's amazing though.
Yeah. So I've been with him since 2018.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been like a real privilege because like, not every, it's like, you have to be approved, you know, you got to have what it takes kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for that.
For sure.
Yeah.
When you got to the NFL, I guess you could say, did any of your friendships, like home friendships change or like university friends, like view you a different way at all or just kind of like move through the motions?
No. Yeah. Just maybe jokingly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're too big time now. But
right.
I have all the same friends that I've had.
Oh, that's awesome.
Where we have a group chat we use every day. Like, I'm still in contact. I haven't been to Vancouver in like 2 years.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it works.
Well, I only mainly ask that because like a lot of people who take that next step in their career, right? And like maybe are in a spotlight kind of job now or position. Sometimes it's easy for people to like view differently or like their like friendships change kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, no, I really don't think of it that way. Cause I, in my head, I'm not where I want to be. Like, I have lots of goals after this. And that's kind of what drives me to like keep going, and it doesn't change anything in my head of, you know, people ask, you know, just like knowing Russ.
Yeah.
You know, just
definitely.
Nah, it's just an everyday thing. It's just my job. You know, I call it going
to
work.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. It's still like mind blowing to me, but
yeah, okay.
if you could choose like any team to play for, what would be your like ideal team?
So people would always ask me that when I was in San Francisco.
Okay.
Because, you know, I didn't really have a choice. And
they're
like, okay, if you could go anywhere, would you go? And I always said, I want to go somewhere where there's no state income tax.
Right.
Because living in California, it is a lot.
And yeah.
You can see it on a piece of paper, how much they take from you.
That's crazy.
And so when I got claimed by Seattle, Washington has no state income tax.
Right.
And I feel like I spoke that into
existence. Like, manifest.
I was like, yeah, it happened. So that's real great. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
They're paying me to play football. Like,
what if you played for the Cardinals?
That'd
be amazing.
No state income tax.
That'd be awesome too, because then I could cheer for you and the Cardinals at the same time.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit torn right now.
Right.
That's why I wore my sweater. I'm like, do you think this would be funny to wear because we're like rivals?
No, I want to play for the Seahawks. I'm glad where I'm at.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Oh, yeah, big time.
What is a piece of advice you would give to younger athletes, maybe wanting to play in the NFL or the CFL, anything like that?
Believe in yourself. I just had a talk with I spoke in front of a school of kids.
Okay.
And one of the questions they asked for that, I was like, what is some advice, you know, to make it? There's a hockey prep school.
Okay.
And I said, you really have to bet on yourself.
Right.
Because if I knew I wanted to play in the NFL. The reason I started playing football is because I wanted to get as good as it as I could be. I wanted to reach the top. And to me, the NFL was that. So when I was in the NFL, right out of UBC, I was obviously happy, but I wasn't satisfied. And then I went to the CFL. I really wasn't happy. I'm like, this is not where my end goal is.
Yeah.
But if I had said that I wanted to be in the NFL when I started playing football,
right
out of like 11th grade, they would have laughed me off the team.
Right.
So my main piece of advice is really believe in yourself, set a goal, and don't let anyone veer you off track. Cause I think the only way to fail is to quit.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just if you stay with it and you keep that goal in mind, and when people doubt you, you stick to what you believe in yourself is true for you. And then I think anything's possible.
Definitely.
Yeah.
100%. Well, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. Quick one today.
Sure.
But yeah, good luck with everything. Only amazing things ahead.
Thank you very much. Yeah, hopefully.
Thanks so much for listening. And look out for Dakota next season. Hopefully starting. Doing the most.
Most likely.
I'm hyped. I'll be back next week for another episode of From My POV. Bye.